All right, well, okay. Enough beating around the bush there. Welcome to Amateur Tarot Podcast, the only podcast where we, two non-mystical hosts, use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
That voice you just heard, that was your co-host, Ben Noble.
And that voice that you just heard was your other co-host, Brian Dooley.
Ben, is this a podcast where we do a bunch of crazy complex things?
No, it's not, Brian. It's not that kind of podcast at all. It's a podcast where we do very simple things. Actually, one very simple thing each and every week, and then there's about 20 minutes of bullshit surrounding that very simple thing that we do. And that simple thing that we do is we get a question, and then we flip over three tarot cards.
And those three tarot cards indicate to the querent who asks the question, they indicate the recent past, the present action, and the future outcome.
And what you're hearing right now is some of the bullshit that is happening around that singular thing that our podcast exists to do.
Yeah. So this is all that bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Are you going to beep all this?
I'm going to beep all these out so it doesn't matter. All
right, good.
Like, whatever your next sentence is, I'm just going to randomly beep out words, and it's going to sound like you said bad things anyway.
What if my next sentence is just
okay.
Did you catch all that?
So then also, after we do the question for one person, we are going to do a question for everybody, and that's going to be the card of the week, but that's just a teaser right now.
But it's the same question all the time. The question is, what's my week going to be like?
That's true. That is what it's going to be. So yeah.
Spoiler alert.
If you're just tuning in to find out what your week's going to be like, buckle up, buttercup, because we're on our way. I guess let's just go in.
Man, now that I've taken such an aggressive tone, I feel like we kind of have to give the people what they came for.
I know. So let's cut out the bullshit and just jump right into Queerance Corner.
All right. So this week's question.
Hey, wait, Ben. Before we get started, I think we started the podcast off really aggressively.
We did.
And
are we in Queerance Corner right now?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a safe space.
Yeah. And I just want our listeners to know we're not mad at you. We're not even mad. We're just...
You know, it's not your fault that we're drifting apart, listeners.
Yeah, you didn't do anything wrong.
No. It's just something that happens to adults.
Yeah, sometimes mommy co-host and daddy co-host... just need some time.
You know?
And then sometimes they say words that are not the most constructive words, like bullshit or fuck.
And we're sorry.
Yeah. So we're not going to say bullshit or fuck anymore through Queerance Corner. Okay?
That's right.
And also, I just want to take this time to say, Ben, I do love you.
Brian, that really means a lot to me. And
okay, yeah, I guess that just means a lot to you. Cool. That's cool. I'm glad it means a lot to you. Is there anything you wanted to say to me?
Yeah, I wanted to say that, I feel better that we're in Queerance Corner. I feel much calmer now that we're here.
That's great.
And I also wanted to thank you for buying the coffee this morning. I appreciated that.
Yeah, I do a lot of things because I love you.
That really means a lot to me.
Okay. Let's just get into this question
shall
we? Our question this week comes from Marielle, who says, I've always shied away from self-promotion, afraid of seeming egotistical and a bragger. But now I'm seeking out my own clients. How can I advertise myself and my business in a tasteful and respectable way? That's a good question, Marielle.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing that Ben and I have to do is determine what this business is.
Yeah. That's a really good question from you, Brian, of what kind of business it is. And I'm going to guess it has something to do with sheet metal.
I was going to say the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Like pressed aluminum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... we get it. You know, the market for sheet metal and pressed aluminum, it's hard out there, and you need to find clients who are willing to buy in bulk because that makes it cheaper.
Yeah, and, you know, as people get more conscious of the planet and a lot of things are changing with the economy, it's tough to know what's going to happen. And you do have to get out there. You do have to really push yourself.
Yeah. And so before we even turn over the cards, I think one answer to this question is just do the dang thing.
Do the dang thing.
Put yourself out there. Don't be afraid. You got to eat. You got to sell that sheet metal.
You get out there and you shill that metal.
Yeah. Now let's see what the cards have to say.
All right, Ben, if you do the honors. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Love you, buddy.
Brian, that means so much to me. And I really appreciate that you keep saying it and reminding me. Because it makes me feel good and special.
Yeah, it does make you feel really special when somebody tells you they love you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. All right, well, let's get into the first card, which is what we came here for. Flip.
Ooh, materialism. That's a card that you've probably never heard of before, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's not real.
It is. Well, I mean, it's as real as any tarot card can be.
Which is very real.
We're using a deck that I think is older than Ben Noble. It's called...
Aren't most decks?
The printing of this deck is older than Ben Noble.
Oh.
This, I think, came out in 1989.
Indeed.
And so materialism is the 15th card in the major arcana here. And so typically that's the devil. And they have very similar meanings. And so we're just going to go with it. But instead of a picture of a devil this time, we have a picture of an individual who is chained up to all the four pieces. There, he's chained to coins, chained to an empty cup, chained to a sword, and chained to a wand.
Oh, all the pieces of the tarot.
Yeah, all the different components. And yeah, I like the art on this. It's a little bit different, but...
You know, Brian, I just want to say that I love the art on this tarot card.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it.
Anything else that you love about this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I love that right now this is the part that people came for, you know? There's no... Never mind.
You're going to say no bullshit?
I was going to say there's no bullshit, but we decided we weren't going to say that anymore.
Yeah, that's okay. It's all getting bleeped out.
Okay, good.
And anything that you need to say just to ramp up to what you're really meaning.
Yeah.
Like when you say you love the cards and you love that people are coming for the show and you love...
I love all of our great people who have asked questions over the last 29 episodes. I love all of them.
Yeah.
And I love all our listeners.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the devil / materialism. It's a card, not that surprisingly, about bondage and addiction. This person is bonded to all of these elements of the tarot, and overall, it's kind of a grim card, as you might expect from the name.
Yeah, and it can speak to just the pleasures of the flesh, but even more so, it speaks to the pleasures of the flesh in excess. It's addiction and negativity. And the addiction is likely something you're powerless before, and it's sapping your strength, your will, and your quality of life.
And the devil might also indicate a fixation, or I guess I should say materialism might indicate a fixation on one particular idea or goal, and it's harming you in other areas of your life. So look for places that you feel that are giving you stress, and it could be that the devil is telling you to work on that aspect of your life. And, you know, when we started talking about this card, I was trying to think about how to put this in context of Mariel's question about self-promotion. And, you know, this being the recent past, I feel like maybe the sort of negative aspect, the bondage, is feeling, you know, tied down by this idea of self-promotion. You're not able to put yourself out there. You're the one, you're sort of like the devil in this situation, bonding yourself to this, like holding yourself back. That's what I'm trying to say.
Good thought.
You know, you've got all this bullshit up in your head about like, oh, I'm going to come across as a braggart if I self-promote, but that's holding you back.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move into the immediate action, the card that's going to help you get over this problem. Flip.
And we've got the chariot.
Man, I love this card.
Do you?
Yeah, I love the cherry, and I think it's a really good card. I think it makes a lot of sense in this context, and I think it's going to help because the chariot represents conquest and victory.
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 I love victory.
Yeah, I do too. I love when people are successful.
Yeah. I don't know if I've said it enough, but I love hosting this show with you, and I just love being your friend.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. So the chariot shows a charioteer, and he is in control of these two sphinx-like beasts, and that's a metaphor that, you know, you need to fight through some of this negativity that's holding you back, you know, with sheer willpower.
The charioteer is a strong, soldierly type person. He's on this deck, he's got the reins to whatever animals are pulling the chariot. We can't see that. But he's definitely in control. He's riding back into town. He's got his banner waving behind him. He has made it. Oh, look. Look at that.
What is it?
The Golden Snitch.
Oh, that's cool. So he's also a winner in the Harry Potter sense of the word.
Oh, now
we brought it. We did it.
Oh, this is perfect.
Man, I love it that in like pretty much every episode we talk about Harry Potter.
So he's got the Golden Snitch. He is returning victorious.
Yeah.
The Golden Snitch, just like the final round on Family Feud, the only round that matters.
Yeah, I always have thought that that's weird. That, okay, so there's like, here's the problem with Quidditch. And Family Feud. But let me go on my Quidditch rant, which is that, yeah, the game is very focused around the snitch. It's been a little bit since I've read Harry Potter, but I think is there seven players on a Quidditch team? Or six?
We'll go with it.
Okay. Well, there's...
There's bludgers.
There's two bludgers. There's three quaffle people.
A seeker
and a goalkeeper, right? Or is he one of the three quaffle people?
I think he's one of the quaffles.
Okay, so then there's six. Let's go with six. There's six people on this team, but really the only one that matters is a seeker. Because if the quafflers score 140 points and the other team scores zero but gets the snitch, they win. So like all that other good Quidditch playing doesn't matter.
Yeah, and getting 140 points is a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Whoever gets the snitch wins.
No, but here's the thing. Imagine, though, that, like, because in some of the Harry Potter lore, like, some games went on for days because they couldn't find the snitch. So you could foresee in that game, like, somebody getting 140 points. Let's say one team got, like, 200 points up on the other team because their quafflers suck. But then the guy is not incentivized to... You know what I'm saying? It's like if Team A has 200 points up on Team B, then Team B's seeker is, like, he cannot catch the snitch, because if he does, then the game ends and they lose.
Yeah, but you're not going to get to that point. I think that it's just whoever gets the snitch wins.
Yeah, but
in
the hypothetical situation where somebody else does get very far up, then the game will never end because unless that Team A's seeker gets the snitch, because Team B's seeker doesn't want to catch the snitch, because then he ends the game and his team loses. So he has to be like, great, now you guys need to get 200 more points, or like at least 50 points, so that we can bring it to parity before he catches it. It's very bad incentives in this game.
This hypothetical match, though, shows a team that is so bad at the mechanics of playing Quidditch, and then the other team that is phenomenal at actually playing Quidditch, but their seeker is essentially just a lump that's sitting in the stands, not even trying. And then the other team is vice versa. They don't even have to have a good seeker.
Just a seeker. Just a seeker.
And then nobody else on the field.
Yeah. And that's true too. Like if one team literally just had a seeker, if he was able to get the snitch before the other team could just like undefeated, like if he could find it in 5 minutes, he would still win the game.
Why doesn't a team just have
all
six
seekers?
Yeah.
It's basically
And that's the same thing with Family Feud. There's the rounds where you get like 10 points or whatever per round, or 100 points per round, And then there's the final round where everything's worth five times the amount. So that's the only one that matters.
Really, yeah. It's
mathematically, it doesn't matter who wins those first rounds.
No. Oh my God.
So anyway, our charioteer has caught the golden snitch.
Yeah. And what this is saying, Marielle, is that you need to use your own strength and your own willpower to, like, bust through this hesitancy you have about self-promotion that's holding you back.
Yeah, because right now, you are a success at Rolled Aluminum. You are a success at getting that sheet metal out there.
And you need to let people know about that, and you can't, you know, let some of your internal hang-ups hold you back. You gotta just have strength of mind to know that you have the snitch, and that you just need to, like, tell people. Because think about it, if the seeker catches the snitch but nobody notices, then how do we know that the game's over and that team has won?
Yeah, so what you've done here is you've set up a situation where your quafflers and your bludgers are doing their jobs. And now you just got to get out there and grab that snitch.
So we can end the dang game.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that brings us to our third card.
Flip. And I feel like you were going to say it.
Oh, it's the Ten of Cups.
It's the Ten of Cups, which is a great card.
It is a super positive card. And Ben, I know you love the artwork on these cards, so I'm going to let you talk about this for a second.
I do love the artwork on the Ten of Cups in this card, because there's a rainbow with 10 cups kind of
like
everywhere. And then in the foreground of the card, there's a couple that is like lovingly looking to each other's eyes. But on top of the rainbow is just a woman.
Yeah, just a random
woman. A random woman who's like spying on this couple who's about to make out. And she's got her foot in one of the cups.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm not going to lie. It's a weird card.
I mean, if you just took the woman out, the card would make perfect sense. But it's like, what is up with that third woman?
But maybe this woman is... I think this woman is a child.
Okay. I get it. It's like they're looking lovingly into each other's eyes, and then the card is like, you know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Next. They're going to fuck. But the Ten of Cups is a really great card, especially in the future position. It's a card that means happiness, joy, and fulfillment, particularly when it comes to friends and family stuff. But overall, it's an awesome time of peace, love, and harmony. You know, it's kind of like Woodstock. And
it speaks to you knowing what you want and being able to get that.
And what you want is to sell that dang sheet metal.
Get that aluminum out in those people's hot hands.
Well, I hope that the sheet metal is at least not too hot, because like if it's sitting outside, it can get pretty hot in the summer, and like that could burn somebody's hand.
Yeah, especially my experience with rolled aluminum is during the summertime doing roofing work, which you are probably rolling in the rolled aluminum money right now.
Yeah.
But it does get very, very hot. You definitely gotta wear gloves when you're working with that stuff.
Yeah. And so the Ten of Cups, the ten in any position in the tarot deck, the ten is always the card that's about the end of the journey. And since it's the end of the journey, you know, you're gonna want to step back and take a deep breath and appreciate what you got and be like, I did it. Because I think this is saying that once you use that willpower from the chariot to kind of fight through your inner demons, get it? See what I did there? You're gonna be successful. You're gonna have success in attracting those clients.
And the way you're gonna attract those clients is to talk about yourself.
Yeah.
And not feel bad about it.
Yeah. And since this is a cup, cup cards are all about emotions and intuitions. And, you know, to get to this point, you just got to follow your gut. And I think you probably internally know the best way to promote yourself and your sheet metal / rolled aluminum business. And, you know what you need to do on the inside, and you just need to do it.
Yeah. And on a more practical level, you are selling your art. Your art is rolled aluminum. And in order to get that into people's hands, you've got to tell them about it. And so getting over that hump of self-promotion is just getting over the idea that what you're doing is worthwhile. And people need flashings for their roof. People need edges for their shingles.
Yes.
You've got to get those into people's hands. You've got to believe that you're important enough for that to work. And once you believe that, then your self-promotion will not feel crass. It will not feel braggartly.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that does it. And I'm glad that we did Quirin's Corner with no bullshit. I'm glad we were just the facts, just really hammered home this question.
Just really right for the snitch on this one.
Yeah.
So I guess that brings us to the next part of the show.
Let's go there.
Here we are on the other side of the music, which is when we want to thank Marielle.
Thank you.
Thanks for your question. It was a good one.
Yeah, I loved answering that question.
Yeah, I loved answering that question too. I love using the new deck that we haven't used before. And I love the insight that you bring to things, Ben.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Man, you're making me feel really special today.
Yeah, it does make you feel really special when somebody just says, I love you and I love what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's go ahead and get to the card of the week, which, as we said, we haven't really ever explicitly asked this question, but the question we're asking every time we get to the card of the week is, what's your week going to be like? And this is for everyone out there listening. We're just going to give you one card that's going to give you some insight into what you can expect between now and the next time you listen to our podcast.
And this week we're using the, I don't even know how to pronounce this, the Nicoletta Ciccioli Tarot. And I'm going to let Ben describe the deck for you for a little bit before we, this is some of the bullshit that we talk about.
Oh my God.
Ben loves it.
This is like, oh my God, what is happening on this card? There's a, I don't even know what card this is, but it's a young woman lifting up her dress, like where her legs should be, there's nothing. She doesn't like have legs, but a bull is charging out of the inside of her dress. What card is this? It doesn't say what card it is.
It's the Queen of Coins.
Oh. What the hell? That's not your card of the week. Why are all of these, like, weird doll-looking women lifting up their dresses? Oh, my. Just get to the card of the week. This is horrifying.
I'm going to have to get a new deck for next week because I think Ben has seen all my other decks. But so anyway.
Let's flip one over.
Ben, if you do the honors.
Flip.
Okay, it's the Six of Swords. Ben, if you could just describe what's going
on.
Great,
yeah, I'd love to describe what's going on. Alright, so there's just too much going on here. Oh my God. So there's, it's like, it looks like a sea. It's a very cloudy sky, and then there's a sea. And in the sea are a bunch of toys, like there's a block and a stuffed giraffe and an upside-down rocking horse. But in the center of the card is a coffin. And inside the coffin is a doll-looking child. And it's just like, it's half of a coffin. It's like a boat, a coffin boat. And piloting the coffin boat is a stuffed bunny rabbit with angel wings, and he's crying.
I'd say that's a pretty good description of that card.
How is this?
So
how's this a thing?
That's the Six of Swords, and the description from the Little White Book on this one. When something has failed or been defeated, it takes time to recover. Seek out whatever help you need to heal from the situation. If you are the victor, do not gloat. The key concepts of this card are rest after anxiety and compassion for all parties involved.
It's 2 weeks in a row we've had some dark cards.
Yeah, there's some sad-ish cards.
There's some dark cards in the tarot deck, guys. But, you know, coming off of last week's card, which was a card about bad things happening, this is a card about recovery. And, you know, if bad stuff happened last week, then this is a time to reflect on that and get yourself over the hump.
Yeah, find the help that you need, whatever that is. And give yourself credit that you've gone through something tough and you need that time to rest. You need that time to recover and you need that help. There's no shame in it.
Yeah. Say you lost a Quidditch match. Now's the time to reflect and think, what a stupid game.
Yeah. We just need more seekers on the team.
Yeah.
Or maybe your family lost at Family Feud. And there's really no fighting that. It's kind of luck of what questions you get.
And who won the final round. Yeah.
So we're not going to fault you as much on that one.
No.
But if it is about Quidditch, then just rethink the structure of your team.
Yeah. I can't imagine. How could you have a rule that says there's like you can't have seven seekers?
Yeah.
Just like you could have eight first basemen. There's probably not like a rule against it.
Yeah, the only thing that would only goalies are the like
specify like you can only have one.
Yeah, because they can in soccer they can touch the ball with their hands.
Right.
And only in that one area.
Right.
So yeah, just have all seekers.
Yeah, like there's no rule that says your basketball team can't be all point guards.
It's just there's not a specific benefit to it like there is in having all seekers.
Right, right.
So, all right. I guess that's the card of the week.
Well, guess since that's done, we'll just roll on into the end of the show.
I want to thank Marielle one more time. Thank you for sending in your question.
Thank you very much to all of our listeners this week.
And thanks to you, Ben. Thanks for just being a loving co-host.
Yeah, Brian. So if you have a question for us, feel free to send that our way at amateurtarotreading@gmail.com or go to our website, amateurtarot.com, and you'll easily find a way to send us a question.
You can also contact us at our Twitter account, Tarot Amateur.
And if you want to hit up Brian, you can hit him up at Zen Iron Man on Twitter.
And if you want to contact Ben, you can contact him at Making All This Up.
And a really important thing that you can do for next week, and if you do this, if enough people do this, we'll probably have a much more positive card of the week, don't you think? It's like good karma into the universe.
I think so, yeah.
And the thing is rating and reviewing us on iTunes.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything. It helps us out a lot. And it just puts love out into the universe.
Yeah, because we love you. And this is your opportunity to tell us that you love us.
And I guess I want to thank Hug Monster Sound. I love the music that they made for us.
Yeah. And thank you to J.K. Rowling for giving us a lot of stuff to talk about on each and every one of these shows.
Yeah.
I love Harry Potter.
I love Harry Potter, too. I guess I love all the bullshit that we do in our episodes. And I guess I'm just alone in that.
Bye. Hey, Brian?
Yeah, Ben?
Have I ever told you that I really love being friends with you and doing this podcast with you?
That really means a lot. Bye. Whew. I am actually going to edit that one out.
Okay, fine.